Open your Bibles, Ezekiel chapter 36, reading from Ezekiel 36, verses 33 to 38. Ezekiel 36, verses 33 to 38. And if you all could kindly stand in honor of God's Word. Thank you. Ezekiel 36, verses 33 to 38. And God says, "Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. And the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places, and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as a flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord." And let's pray. Father, again, I come to you tonight, Lord. Just thank you for giving me this opportunity. I thank you for this great people, Lord. Thank you for people who love you, Father, and want to do right, want to serve you, Lord. I don't take it lightly to be standing behind this pulpit. I thank you for the man of God, Pastor Angel, our preacher, Lord. I know his heart is heavy tonight. His wife's heart is heavy tonight. The family's heart. Lord, I pray you bless him. Give him a double portion of your strength, Lord. Bless the preaching tonight, Lord. I pray use it to your glory, Father. I can't do anything. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to do a work tonight. Change hearts. Speak to hearts, Lord. We love you and thank you. All this we ask in your precious, holy, and saving name. Amen.
Many times I've tried and tested as I travel day by day. Oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in the way. But I have the sweet
some background about our man Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet. Ezekiel was a prophet taken into captivity. When Babylon came in and took Israel captive for their wicked sins, he was taken into captivity in Babylon. And in this time period, what we're reading, we're seeing that he's in Babylon and God has sent him as a prophet to speak to his people. And
It's people. The problem with people, though, they had wicked hearts. Even though they were taken into captivity, they still were wicked. It's only they didn't even get it. If you picture us in the same situation Ezekiel was in, if we were taken into captivity, taken out of our own homes, and taken over to Russia, I think maybe we would have wised up pretty quick and said, wait a minute, I did something wrong for God to make me go in captivity in Russia. But the people still didn't get it. The people's hearts were so hard. And God sent Ezekiel still to go and tell them, if nothing else, that they would know that there was a prophet among them. And you don't have to turn there, but Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 5, it says, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. So God sent Ezekiel, an Israelite, to his fellow Israelites in Babylon to tell them of their sins, tell them of their judgment, and to turn around from their wicked ways. And so here we are. God is speaking to the Jews. He's speaking to the Jews through Ezekiel. And this message is for the Jews from a Jew, for the Israelites from an Israel. But I believe we can glean something from these verses. I believe tonight we can get something that can help us. I know it really was a blessing to me and help us. I want to share it with you in these 2 minutes tonight. But let me start off by asking this question. What are you building with your life? What are you building with your life? And if I had to title this message, that would be simply that. What are you building with your life? I believe in these verses we can see how to build your life right. Before I continue on, I'll ask you again, we bow our head in prayer and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, I pray you bless the service. Use it to your glory. I pray you give me power. Also, I ask in your precious holy name. Amen. So, how do you build your life right? How do you build your life right? As a Christian, spiritually speaking, how do you build your life? Many of you have gone to the bookstore and saw the self-help books. How to be a do-it-yourself home carpenter. How to be a do-it-yourself plumber. I tried that a couple times and I called Brother Griffin and he helped me out. I was a do-it-yourself plumber for about 2 weeks. No, we're doing all right. There's only a little bit of flooding. We kind of swan her in the basement. That's a blessing, though, you know. It's a good way the kids get around them. Anyway, how do you build your life right? Listen, you see all these do-it-yourself books. You see all these self-help books, especially the weight washing books. Good night. I mean, everywhere you go is how to lose weight in 20 days, how to lose 30 pounds in 4 years, you know, all this stuff. Of course, everybody always gains it back anyway, so, I mean, what's the use? My dad always says, what's the use of a diet? It doesn't work. Because look at me. I'm all, you know, it doesn't work for me, so I'm not going to do it. So, okay. So anyway. You see all these books in the bookstore. How to fix things up yourself. But let me ask you a question. Spiritually speaking, how do you build your life right for the Lord? How do you build your life right for God? And I have 4 points I'm going to share with you tonight. The first point, number one, you need to be cleansed from your iniquities. You need to be cleansed from your iniquities. Look in verse 33 of chapter 33 of Ezekiel. It says, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. In short, you need to be saved. This, the best foundation anybody, spiritually speaking, can start off with is having trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Listen, if you're going to do anything right for the Lord, you got to be saved. That's the most important thing. Hey, we can have all the accolades. We can have all the degrees. We can have all the biggest bank accounts. We've all sort of stuff. But when it comes to eternal perspective, you have to be saved. It all starts with salvation. It all starts with being saved. Trust in Christ as your personal Savior. And Titus 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. What do we deserve for our sin? We deserve hell. That's what we deserve. Hey, listen, if God was a just judge, and He is a just judge, and He didn't love us so much in Romans 5:8 tells us, we would be all in hell tonight, and it would be fair. He's a God of love, but we broke His law. Listen, hey, if I went into a car and I think I used this example in the past. If I broke into a car and stole the radio, and a cop arrested me and I went to jail, a just judge would plead me guilty. My verdict would be guilty. Why? Because I stole the radio. I broke the law. We broke God's law when we sinned. And what do we deserve for because of our sin? Hell. But praise the Lord, because of His mercy, He saved us. Hey, we're going to heaven tonight because of Jesus Christ. Hey, we don't deserve heaven. Nothing we can do can get us to heaven. We can work our whole life to do good works. We go to church every single day. We can even, You've heard people say, well, I pray every day, I pray every day. Even that won't get you to heaven. Trust in Christ and your personal Savior. Ask Him to come into your heart as your personal Savior, realizing you're a sinner, realizing we deserve a place called hell, and understanding that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. That's the foundation. That's the only way to get to heaven. And maybe there's someone in this room tonight who doesn't know they're on their way to heaven. I know this pulpit, praise the Lord, is almost every message is preached on salvation. You hear it all the time. Your preacher, Pastor Angel, preaches it on salvation. He preaches a book, as he always does. Praise the Lord for our preacher. But listen, you need to know you're going your way to heaven. So number one, how do you build your life right? You need to be cleansed from your iniquities. Brother Tony Johnson, can you go get my props, please, brother? Thank you. And let me just say this, as Brother Tony is getting my props. If you're saved to build something up for God, to build something spiritual in your life, then salvation is not just a fire escape from hell. It bothers me when I see someone get saved, and they come here, and I understand, a brand new Christian, thank you, brother. Brand new Christian. They get saved and they're growing in the Lord and doing things, but for the most part, three services a week, they come in and sit in a pew for an hour and they go home. They never get involved year after year. I'm not talking about brand new Christians. I'm talking about people who have been in church for 10, 15 years, yet never do anything for the Lord. How are we going to build spiritually speaking? Yeah, you're saved, you're going to heaven, but it seems it's like nothing more than a fire escape from hell. Because, yeah, you're going to heaven, and you can't lose your salvation. Praise God for it. But listen, He saved us to do more than just sit in the pew three times a week. He saved us to do more than that. He didn't save us just to do nothing. Turn with me, in you, if you would, in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." In verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Listen, gang, when we're saved to do good works. We're saved to get into our Bible and hear from God. We're saved to pray, to talk to God. We're saved to jump on in and start serving in a church house and be a blessing to other people and a help to God. Not to help to God, but to help other people. And do what we're supposed to do. To do good works. God ordained that we're supposed to do good works. And listen, again, number one, you need to be cleansed from your iniquities. So to be cleansed from your iniquities, being saved is the foundation. But it also means doing good works. Doing good, serving where you can. Let me just get this set up real quick. Got some props here. Don't have a coffee pot this time. My makeshift Legos. When I was making these, it brought me back to the days when I was in Cub Scouts. And we had this derby. It was a balsa wood makeshift little go-kart that went down the, you had to race each other. Let me tell you something about those balsa wood things. They break like this. And then the wheels, I mean, I'm on a tangent right now, I understand that. But the wheels, they fall off every time the go-kart goes down the thing, and oh my goodness, it's a blessing, let me tell you. But listen, you need to be cleansed. So number one, how you build your life right? Cleanse from your iniquities, getting saved. And getting saved isn't just about sitting in the pew three times a week. It's getting in and serving the Lord. So, but if you understand nothing else about point number one, you need to be cleansed from your iniquities. You need to be saved. So the first building block is being saved. Got it. Okay. Number two, what's the second Second point, God, Lord tells us in His Bible about how to build your life right, how to build your life right for the Lord. Putting God's will ahead of your will. Putting God's will ahead of your will. Go to verse 33, same verse. It says, "Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded. I, God speaking, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded." He's saying, listen, I'm going to put you in a certain area. I'm going to put you in a city. I'm going to put you in a certain place for a reason. Every single one of us are here in this church house for a reason. It's not by accident we're here. Every single one of us lives in a certain street for a reason. Every single one of us goes a certain job for a reason. There's a reason God put us in certain places. He said, "I will cause you to dwell in the cities." Listen, we're here for a reason. Hey, you ever see, you go to work and you happen to see your neighbors are lost? It's not by accident He put you on the street. You go to your workplace to see maybe your coworkers are lost. It's not by accident He put us there. He put us there for a reason. But listen, putting God's will ahead of our will. How many of us said, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with us necessarily in and of itself, said, "Man, I want to move to the coast where it's warm. I want to move to the ocean. I want to move down to Florida. I want to move to this." And that's nothing wrong with it. But what if God doesn't want you moving there? How many of us ever, before we decide to move somewhere, pray and say, "God, is this Your will for me to go here? Is this Your will for me to move here? Is this Your will for me to work a certain job? Is this Your will for me to change jobs?" Yeah, and I understand we got to take care of our family. I understand all that. And we got to make the money to take care of our family. But how many of us are willing to put God's will ahead of our will? In every situation. In every situation. And I strongly believe, based on these verses, the second point in building your life right for God is putting God's will ahead of your will. And let me illustrate. Go to James chapter 4, verse 13 to 15, if you would. James chapter 4. Verses 13 to 15, it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy, and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Again, verse 15. "For what we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." If it's God's will, hey, listen, it's not easy. I'll be the first to admit, it's not easy putting God's will ahead of our will. We have flesh, and our flesh always cries out, "Feed me, feed me." And we want to. We see the lucrative job with a higher pay. We see the place to live where it's right on the coastline. It's not too terribly expensive. Or we see this. We see that. And we want it. But how many are asking God, "What is Your will for my life? What is Your will for my life?" When I was before I went to Bible college, I was in Connecticut at Heritage Baptist Church, and I was called to ministry. I knew I was going. And I kind of talked to my preacher and counseled with him. He said, "Wait until you're planning on going in June of the summer." Lord actually changed it, moved it up to December. But at that time, I was going to go in June, the summertime. I had about 9 months left from the time I talked to him until June. And he said, "Just stay here, serve, and then in June, go out there and get ready. And then you start the following September going to college." I'm like, great. Well, about September, October, a guy calls me, and a recruiter, a headhunter. And I don't know how these headhunters get all this information, but he knew my name, he knew everything about me. I was like, "What's the color of the paint in my walls, buddy?" You know, he probably knew that too. But he knew all this stuff. And he called me and says, "Hey, Jason, I got a job for you." And back then I was a tech and a help desk support, and I was doing help desks. I got a job for you. You're the manager of a help desk. You're in charge of the whole help desk. I know it's on your resume. It's what your goal is. And I said, "Well, that sounds good." And he told me the salary. Like, holy cow, I dropped the phone. I had to pick it up again. He told me his salary. It was a lot of money, and it was benefits. It was all sort of stuff. But here's the thing. Number one, as soon as he was saying that, I kept saying, "Lord, help me, because I know I'm supposed to go to Bible college in 9 months. Make sure this isn't from you. I'm not sure if it's from you or from my flesh or from Satan trying to get me out of the way, not going your will." And number two, I always had a personal, this is a Jason, just for me, that I did the best that I could not to work Sundays. I just didn't want to work Sundays. That was just me. So he said, well, it's a great job. It's everything you want. Everything he said about the benefits, everything was excellent. But first thing he said, well, you got to work every other weekend on Sundays. And I was like, man. And then he said, it's about, you have a commitment for at least a year. After a year, you can leave, but at least 1 year commitment. Two things going back in my mind. Number one, I was leaving 9 months. That broke rule number one in my mind because it was a year commitment. And number two, I didn't want to work Sundays. And he said you had to work every other Sunday. So, two things I could have done. I could have done my will, and my will, I believe me, I wanted this job. Man, I went to school for this. I was paying my dues for this. I had worked up a ladder for this, and I was doing this, and it met everything I wanted. But that was my will. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to ask for God. I was like, God, I don't want to ask you what your will is. I feel like you're going to tell me, don't take this job. I don't want to hear that. But I had to ask him, because I really wanted his will. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't. But after just being stubborn, the Lord broke my heart. And I said, all right, Lord, tell me, what is your will for my life? What do you want? And it's clear, just praying over it and just studying the Word, I realized that God's will for my life was not to take that job. And as hard as it was, I called the guy and said, sir, I can't take this job. And I didn't take the job, and I went off to Bible college, and the rest is history. But I believe if I had taken that job, I don't think I'd be here today. I can't prove that until I get to heaven, but I don't think I'd be here. Listen, how many of us are putting God's will ahead of our will? How many of us are putting God's will ahead of our will? Building block number one in building a life right for Christ is getting saved. Number two, putting God's will ahead of your will. Putting God's will ahead of your will. How many of us are willing to do that? Yeah, getting saved is easy. You trust Christ, your personal Savior. You try to do good works. You try to serve. But man, I can't wait to get that car. I can't wait to get that awesome car. Man, it has the V8. I can bring it to the Pumpkin Fest every year and show it off in St. Anne. And I can bring it to all those other car shows. Or I can get that great boat. You know, well, Pumpkin Fest. We were there today. We saw cars. I mean, think of that. But man, I can't wait to get that car. But the sticker price is a little, really kind of high. It means I had to work a lot of extra shifts, which means I got to quit my bus route, which means I got to quit my Sunday school, which means I got to quit this. See, it's God's will for you to quit all that for a car, a piece of metal that rots. As you heard the saying, it's all going to burn someday, you know. But listen, hey, the car looks nice. I saw a lot of cool cars up there, and every single car has this big sign: "Please look, but don't touch." Every single one of my teenagers. Whoa! What's on this car? Let me see this car. Oh, let me feel the interior of this car. They're touching everything. I'm like, guys, don't touch a thing because people are there with machine guns ready to blow your head off if you even touch one piece of leather on that car. I mean, they baby their car. They have diapers, you know, they're rubbing up, you know, rubbing on the car. All right, obsession, you know. So, but hey, listen. But I don't believe it. I'm not telling you to buy it. You shouldn't buy a nice car. But buying a nice car makes you stop giving up everything that you do with serving God. I would really, really, really talk to the preacher. I really, really, really would pray about it. And I would definitely really, really, really consult your Bible before you make a decision like that. Putting God's will ahead of your will, it's not easy. I'm here to tell you, it's not easy. But I promise you, you put God's will ahead of your will, you'll never regret it. You put your will ahead of God's will almost every single time, you're going to regret it. So building that life for God, how to build a life that's right in the eyes of God. Number one, getting saved. Number two, putting God's will ahead of your will. Putting God's will ahead of your will. I think of Brother Robertson when I think of that point. The missionary that came through here, Northern Atlantic Canada. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure he was so excited to go out with the Frozen Chosen way up there in Northern Atlantic. I mean, I talk to my wife every now and then, just kind of keep her on her toes. I'm like, honey, I think the Lord's calling us to the Arctic with tears coming down. Okay. Yeah. Because I know she hates the cold. I mean, it's like 70 degrees in the house. She's got 5 sweaters on and 4 jackets. And she's a blessing. I love my wife. She's a blessing to me. Amen. She is. But listen. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Brother Robertson, going up with the Frozen Chosen. Listen, he's up there. Listen. I don't know if he wanted to go up there in that cold area, and there wasn't many people up there, were scattered, and he might have looked up at the past history of missionaries up there, and maybe the results weren't that good. And he saw how past missionaries weren't getting a lot of people, and there wasn't a lot of fame, and you go up there for 20 years, and you don't see a lot of, you don't come back a lot to the States on furlough because you're so far away. But I won't be surprised if he one day said, you know what, God, I want your will ahead of my will. And by the way, you come here, if you were here when he was here that Wednesday night, I believe it was, with his children, I've never seen a happier family. Man, the kids are like, I want to play football! I want to do the activity! You know, they're all hyper. I love them. They're a blessing. But listen, hey, listen, he wanted to put God's will ahead of his will. And look where they are now. I'm not saying we have to be missionaries up to Northern Atlantic. I'm not Northern Canada. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, to build your life right for God, you need to put God's will ahead of your will, no matter what it is. And by the way, you're never safer than you're in the center of God's will. And praise the Lord for it. You're never safer than you're in the center of God's will. Look at our preacher. Another example. I won't be surprised one day when, you hear his testimony of getting saved out of a rough life and he went to Bible college. I won't be surprised that someday during Hiles Anderson College, if he got things in his heart saying, you know what, God, I'm putting your will ahead of my will. And he raised his kids like that, and they always saw a dad who put God's will ahead of his will. And one day, there was a boy named Ben Angel who got the call to go to Madagascar. And maybe he didn't want to go to Madagascar. Maybe he wanted to stay here. But he saw his dad. He saw his dad who put God's will ahead of his will. And that might have gave him the strength to say, you know what? I want to stay here. I love to stay in Bourbonnais. It's my most favorite city of all the United States. And I've heard him say that many times. A Ben Angel put God's will ahead of his will. And where is he today? He's in Paris, a language school. Every single one of us, you don't understand. And I don't understand either what God has in store for us. We don't understand how he wants to dump out all the blessings and dump out and just all the things he wants to do in our lives. But how many times we put our will ahead of God's will? I want, give me. I need. And we miss out. And the world says, oh, you don't need to go to church. You don't need to do this church stuff. There's no pay. You don't get any gratification. No one pats you on the back. Why are you doing it? It's not for me. It's for him. Hey, listen, if you're going to live a life, building a life for God, you got to, number one, be saved. Number two, put God's will ahead of your will. Put God's will ahead of your will. Let me just finish before I go to the next point. One more sub-point here. Let's make it personal, parents. And I'm a parent, I speak to myself, because I'm a parent too. Say you can see down the road in the future. And you know that your child is going to be called to way on the Argentina, Australia, some far way away as a missionary. You can see in the future, as a globe or something, crystal ball or whatever. And you can see in the future. And God's saying to you now, if you put your will, or God's will ahead of your will, your child is going to go off to Australia and serve me and do right. And the thing is, parents, how many of us are willing to let our kids do that? How many of us are willing to say, you know what, Lord, even if it's your will for my child to go all the way across the country, all across the world, halfway around the world, me see him twice a year, two times every 5 years, once every 3 years, or whatever. I want to put your will ahead of my will. And parents, if you're going to say anything in your heart, no way. I am not going to let my child go halfway around the world. I'll never see him. You know what you're doing? You're putting your will ahead of God's will. And by the way, like I said earlier, the safest place anybody can be is the center of God's will. Yeah, we'll miss him. We were just talking about a week ago, Kelly and I. What if Hallie is a missionary's wife, or Caleb is a missionary beating up all the kids as he goes all in the field and grabbing things and some nursery stuff he does, praise the Lord. What if our children are called all the way around the world? Are we going to be like Pastor Angel or other people who let their kids go and say it's God's will? No, it's not going to be easy. Would we be willing to do it? But if you get in the habit now of putting God's will ahead of your will, when things like that come, and they might come, There's nothing more, I believe personally, there's nothing more amazing than having a child who's serving God with all his life. Would you be willing to do that, parent? Would you be willing to let your child go half around the world? Think about it. Our children are precious to us, but I believe they're God's children, given to us to raise for Him, to use for Him, like Hannah gave her son back to God. So, how to live a life, building life for God. Number one, you've got to be saved. The best foundation to start on is Jesus Christ. Number two, putting God's will above your will. Number three, the third building block or way to build your life for Christ or build your life right for God is build up around you. Build up around you. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 34 and 35. Turn there, I'm still here in James. No, I'm sorry. 36, I'm sorry. Did that sound right? Pardon me. Okay, it says in verse 34 and 35, Ezekiel chapter 36. Says, and a desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate are ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. I'm sorry, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 33 and 34 and 35. I'm sorry. Apologize for that. Ezekiel 36, verses 33 and 35. It says, thus saith the Lord, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded, and a desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate are ruined cities, and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Notice at the end of verse 33, and the wastes shall be builded. He put him in a city. Remember back in verse 33 it said, hey, I will cause you to dwell in the cities and the waste shall be builded. He put him there for a reason. He said, I'm going to put you in a city, in a certain place for a reason. I'm going to put you there not by accident. And listen, all around you, the wastes are going to be builded. Number three, the third way of living your life for God, building your life right for God, is building up around you. You notice in these verses that all around them they are building up. And they weren't working in the glamorous areas where they would get a lot of attention, but they were working in desolate areas. And the wastes shall be builded up. The desolate areas were probably not the clean areas. Now listen, they were in a certain place where they were in Beverly Hills, where there was Rolls Royces going by, there was clean streets, there was clean sweepers going by, they had clean cars, everything was clean and neat. No, God put them in a place that He's been putting them back in Israel, where the place was ruined and destroyed from when Babylon came through. And He said, listen, I'm going to put you in Babylon for a reason, and you're going to build up around you the wasted cities, you're going to build them up. And listen, you're going to roll up your sleeves. You're going to get in there. You're going to build up those cities. Listen up, folks. How many of us, listen, the third way of building your life right for God is building up around you. How many of us are willing to build up around us? How many of us are willing to roll up our sleeves to get dirty, to jump in with both feet and to serve God and to do what we can by building up? We're not looking for a pat on the back. We're not looking for a paycheck. We're not looking to have a glamorous account of what was going on. All we want to do is just build around us. All we're interested in doing is building God's kingdom. That's all we want to do. And no matter how glamorous it was or how dirty it is, all we want to do is build up around us. To build up around us. See, something happens when you get dirty and there is no glamour and you put your sweat into something. You start caring about it. If you're a bus worker in this room, I guarantee you, you care about something. For those men and those workers and those young ladies and those women who help out on the bus, help the bus captains, and those bus captains have been around for a long time, there's no paycheck. They're not getting any money. They're not doing it to be the glamorous ministry, if I can call it that. They're doing it because they decided one day, you know what? I want to start building up around me. I want to get involved in some kind of ministry. Get in somewhere. Get plugged in somewhere. I want to start in the bus route. Yeah, I know you got to work with kids who maybe they don't have the best attitudes. Maybe some don't smell the greatest. Maybe it's hot on a summer day. It's hot on the buses. On a winter day, it's cold on the buses. But you know what? I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to dig in. I'm going to dig in. I'm going to get involved. You know what happens after a while? The name starts sticking in your head. When you go to bed at night, you find yourself praying for them without even thinking about it. You walk down the street, and maybe you happen to see a billboard that was right near a billboard on one street that happens to be the same billboard down the road at your bus kid's street. And all of a sudden, when you see that billboard, the first thing that pops in your head is that bus team, that bus kid. Why? Because you know, one day you got in, you got involved, you started building, and you started caring about it. You started getting a burden for it. You started loving it. Hey, listen, I think of Miss Montgomery. Look how much effort she puts in the food pantry. You ever been there on Thursdays? The woman, man, I see her. She's running all around getting tables set up, doing this, doing that. She doesn't have to do that. But I believe she cares about the people and cares about the food bank and wants to be a blessing to the church. And there's all over this room, you hear people like that. They're doing things. They're not looking for a paycheck. They're not looking for a pat on the back. Why? Because one day all they wanted to do was roll up their sleeves. Dig in. Yeah, they might get dirty. Yeah, they might stain some pants. Yeah, they might tear something. Yeah, they might pull a muscle. Yes, they might miss a basketball game. Yes, they might miss a football game. Yes, they might have to sacrifice some things. But you know what? The Lord blesses them. They start caring about these people. They start caring about the ministry you're in. And before you know it, you could pull them away. Man, you could pull them. No, I want where I'm at. I want my sleeves rolled up. I want to be dirty. Why? Because God said, listen, I put you in a place, build up around you, even if it's in the wasted cities, even if it's in a bad area, even if it's in a place where you don't want to be in, because what, you're going to start caring about it. You're going to start loving it. You're going to start getting a burden for it. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's a blessing. Man, if you're in a situation, hey, listen, if you get to the point where you can't be pulled away from ministry, praise God. Praise God, because Satan doesn't have a foothold. And especially if you don't want to be pulled away from a ministry, and you just love it so much, and hopefully a lot of us are there. And if some of us are, if you're not there, listen, you keep staying faithful, I guarantee you'll start getting there. And God puts you in that place, and one day when you wake up, you just don't want to go out slowing. You're tired, you're up to drinking too many root beers the other night, and you just don't want to get up on Saturday morning. You don't want to do anything for God. You just don't feel like getting up. But you know what? That pounding sensation in your heart says, I gotta see that bus kid! Man, I gotta get that food bank ready! Man, I gotta do this, I gotta do that! I'm getting up! I'm getting up! Build up around you. Build up around you. Because if you build up around you, you're going to get a burden for it. So number one, how do you build your life right for the Lord? Get saved. Number two, how do you build your life right for the Lord? Put God's will ahead of your will. And number three, how do you build your life right for the Lord? Build up around you. Build up around you. I think of I was at the Ward's Banquet. That Brother Don, I was at the last before graduation. It's called the Ward's Banquet, right? The Ward's Banquet. I loved it. I went there 2 years in a row. Loved it. It's a blessing. I encourage you, if you can, go. It's good to go see all the graduates. But every Ward's Banquet, both of them I've been to, towards the end of the Ward's Banquet, praise the Lord, you see Miss Thomason. The tears start coming, the tissues start flying out of the tissue box. And she goes up and gives a testimony about how much she loves the kids. Oh, I love the kids. I love you, sir. And bless God, don't let me see my office again. No. Well, I know I'm teasing Miss Thomason. Of course, she teases me enough, so we're even. But I see Miss Thomason caring for her kids. Why? Because one day, she decided, you know what? I'm going to start teaching in this school. I'm not sure how it happened. I heard a brief testimony from her husband about how they got here and she got into school. One day she said, you know what, I'm going to start going into this class and start teaching the kids. And maybe the first few weeks it was hard. Maybe the first year was like, this isn't what it was supposed to be like. I thought it was a lot more fun. And I'm not making any money. Brother Tom, you better start working overtime, buddy. But she kept doing it and kept doing it. And I'm not sure her story. I don't want to speak for her. But I can almost guarantee you with everything that I own that she has a heart for it. She loves those kids. And she would toil and sweat over those kids, everything she can, because she loves them. Why? Because hey, all she wanted to do was build up around her. That's all she wanted to do. I'm not looking for fame. I'm not looking for a paycheck. I'm not looking for... St- Stop. We should stop thinking about us. Start thinking about others. Start thinking about Him. Listen, when you start thinking about Him, you start building up and you start building on top of that foundation that was laid when you were saved, and start building on top of that foundation that was laid when you put God's will ahead of your will. And now you're building up around you, and you see, you start seeing people graduating that were in kindergarten. They're now through 12th grade and they're going out. Hey, listen, some of them are going to Bible college. I can't stop praising the Lord for Brother Stephen Britt. I saw him last week at pastor school. I said, hey man, you got a wife yet? There's 20 girls around him. He said, not yet, but I'm picking, brother. No, he really didn't say that. It's like, Brother Jason, we're talking on Tuesday. So listen. No, praise the Lord! Hey, people like Stephen Brett, people who got up, Gage Kent went off to school. Hey, listen, Ben Payne's off in Bible college. Man, we went out for a McDonald's dollar milkshake. Strawberry shakes are the best. Oh, praise God for them. Anyway, kind of do it yourself, folks, on how to lose weight. Hey, bring strawberry shake. Listen, hey! Ben, we went out, man, he's doing good. He said, next year I'm going to be a bus captain. That's what he said, a sophomore! That woman cares about him! And I bet you $1 million some of her influence, she had some influence on. Hey! Listen, you build up around you, you put yourself into something, and you see something happen, and you can't help but praise God for it. Build up around you! You'll never regret it! Get in! Roll up your sleeves! Who cares if you get dirty? Go down to the dollar store, you can buy a nice shirt, white shirt for $1 at the consignment shop. I got a couple of them, praise the Lord. My best shirt's in the closet, right, babe? Praise the Lord. Amen for that. But listen, hey, I'm just... build up around you. You'll never regret it. And it's all a process. You get saved. You put God's will ahead, above your will. You build up around you. And it's all a process for building a foundation for the Lord. Praise God. I could sit here all night and just talk on this one point. I really could. Building up around you. I mean, I'm just in the chair. Every time I see Brother Delbert Bray out there. Delbert, how you doing? I'm all right. Oh, praise God. How's work? It's okay. You know, that's all right. But he's out there mowing the lawn every Saturday. We have a huge lawn. Now it's cut down. He's probably praising God because it's more of a parking lot, less of a lawn. Now they're going to be shovel in the winter. Bless God. Just kidding, Delbert. Go Giants. Anyway, listen, why is he doing it? He wants to build up around him. Man, I came to church. Listen, I was taking hands time talking to Brother Don. Man, the guy is like 58 years old or something like that. And listen, he still has more of a zeal for kids than he ever had. He hasn't lost it. And let me tell you, he got a million stories. I'm in teen church. He has like 5 reams of notebooks of stories of all the kids that made it through. I'm like, man, can I buy some of those? Like, no, get your own, man. Hey, listen. He built up around him. He invested in some kids' lives. Junior church, being a principal. How many people love Brother Don? I'm just waiting to hear Brother Don for president. He got my vote. I'm serious. Listen, gang. Listen, you build up around you. You invest. You get dirty. Who cares if you sacrifice? It's worth it. It is so worth it. So how do you build a life for God? Number one, get saved. Number two, put God's will above your will. Number three, build up around you. Build up around you. We really all need to join the dependent order of really meek and tender souls. That's an acronym. D-O-O-R-M-A-T-S. Doormats. Dependent order of really meek and tender souls. Oh, I'm not going to be a doormat for anybody. When someone steps on you, what do? You lift them up. How many of us are willing to do that? How many of us are willing to be a doormat? You're a doormat in the world. You're nothing but a loser. What is Mark 9:35? Jesus said, and he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Listen, you get down, you get dirty, you serve. Hey, how many of us have ever prayed this prayer? Lord, use me. And then when someone takes advantage of it, use you not the way you thought, he got your prayer answered. He used you. And then you got ticked off, you go home, you get angry, man, that kid stole $5 from my wall, I was trying to give him a lollipop. And you get angry. But listen, we're a doormat. I know it's a funny acronym, but it really has a lot of, I don't know what I'm looking for, but a lot of stuff behind it. I don't take a better word. But doormat, you lift people up. When someone steps on you, you're lifting them up. And you're a doormat. And you're a help and a blessing to them. So number three, fill up around you. Oh, by the way, what happens when you build up around you? In verse 36 of Ezekiel chapter 36, it says, "And the heathen that are left around about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it." When you build up around you, people are going to notice it's not you. People are going to notice it's got to be something else. How many people would get on Sundays on a bus and serve and serve and serve? Brother Payne's in a gazillion ministries everywhere. He's helping everywhere he can. And people who's not saved say, "Man, you give all your Sundays, you give all your Saturdays, you're out there doing the buses, man, you're out there serving where you can, helping, you're out there all day Sunday, all night Sunday, everywhere you can, you're helping." He's trying to be a doormat. And I don't mean that in a negative way by any means. He's trying to serve, get in, build up, be used by God, and let's let God do what he can with Brother Payne. And by the way, look at his children. One of the best kids in my youth group. One of the best kids in my youth group. Listen, when you build around you, you're not going to lose. Get rid of the pride. And we all have, every day we deal with it. Every single day. Pride. It's all around us. Get rid of the pride. And it's a daily thing. It's not like, you know, one and done type of thing. Build up around you. Others will see you, what you're doing, and take notice. Like Preacher mentioned not too long ago, how so many people comment about our church. They come, they drive by here and see, "Man, your parking lot's always filled. I can't understand what's going on." Yes, they can't understand. They don't understand. They won't understand. Why? Because they're not looking to build up around them in terms of the Lord. We are. And that's why we're here all the time. And that's why we're here everywhere, anytime we can. And that's why we all come together and be a blessing. We bear one another's burdens. Hey, praise God. I know preachers mentioned so many people. I've already talked to them already and said, "We're sorry to hear about your mother-in-law." So many people already talked to Mrs. Angel and said, "We're sorry to hear about your mother-in-law." Why? Because people are trying to build up around them. And we're not in it for us. We're being a doormat. And all the heathen, the lost people are going to see. They can't help but see it's God. They can't help but see it's God. And when you build a foundation, you get saved, you put God's will before your will, and you build up around you, people are not going to help but see it's the Lord. There's no other way to explain it. It's God. It's not some funky pill. It's not a New Age thing. It's God! Amen. Praise God for it. Amen. My final point. How do you build up around you? Number one was getting saved. Number two, putting God's will before your will. Number three, building up around you. And number four, Ezekiel verse 38 says, before I read that, Brother Matt Payne, could you ask you to do? Where's he at? Yeah, chair. Verse 38 of Ezekiel 36 says, "As a holy flock, as a flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks, with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord." They shall know I am the Lord. Listen, when you build up around you, when you trust Christ your Savior, when you put His will before your will, and you build up around you, you know what you're doing? This is what you're building. That's what you're building. People can know He's the Lord. I know this is crooked. This really annoys me. This bothers me like crazy. I was looking at this for an hour last night saying, I just can't stand it. It's crooked! Driving me nuts. Still driving me nuts. But listen. Verse 38. Read one more time. "As a holy flock, as a flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord." The fourth way to build your life, so others will know who God is through our lives. Through our lives. We get saved not for ourselves, but to show others who God is. I believe that there's not a more powerful message than that of a changed life. I use the message all the time. I don't grow tired of using it. My brother, Scott Minkowski, when he got saved, he was a skinhead. He was a drug addict. He had earrings. You name it, he had it. He got saved. People were like, "That's Scott Minkowski?" He was in his right mind. He had no more drugs. He had no more earrings. He had a full grown hair and he went to Bible college. Amen. That's Scott Minkowski? Why? He said, you know what? I'm going to start forget about building up for myself where things are going to burn someday and they fall apart and ruin. I'm going to start building on a solid rock. On Christ's solid rock I stand. All on the ground is sinking sand. Amen on Jesus Christ. And build up around you. So this is it. I don't believe there's a better testimony than of a changed life. Getting saved. It's all about God and it's not all about us. We put God's will before our will. Right here. And then number three, again, building up around us. And we all point to Jesus Christ. We all point to God. And let me ask you this. I'm almost done here. What are you building with your life? What are you building with your life? In the end of it, what can you show for it? If you build your life for God, you know what you have to show for it? Well done, that good and faithful servant. If you're not, what do you got to show for it? Nothing. In terms of the world, you know, you're a great guy, but look at these great artists. You know, they're well known now after they're dead. You know, they're all paupers when they were alive. And listen, when you're dead, no one really cares. Oh, he's dead, move on. But in God's eyes, you build up for God for all eternity. For all eternity. Are you building up your life right, being a servant, putting God first, serving God where you can? Or are you doing what you want first and building treasures on earth that will all burn someday? I'm not saying that we can't have fun and have things, but seek God first. Mark 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now let me say this. Don't be discouraged. We're all in different stages of the building process. Some of us just got saved down here. Nothing wrong with that. Brand new Christian. And you're learning the good works, reading your Bible, praying, you're learning what soul winning is all about. You're learning how to get involved in different ministries, maybe getting a bus route. You're learning this. Some of us are up here, learning to put God's will above our will. Not easy to do. We struggle with it all the time. But learn and understand, oh man, I gotta put God's will before my will. I gotta start praying about things. Hey God, what do you want for my life? Let me ask you first. Some of us are up here. Now we're building up. We're building up others around you. I mean, I'm going to start getting in, getting plugged in, doing something for God, building up treasures, letting other people see it's all about God. And you start doing these three things, and no matter where you are, you're building on a solid foundation. And you're building up for God, and you're building up right. You're building up right. Doesn't matter where you are, as long as you're somewhere on here. If you're off over here in lost land, building up treasures on earth, fine. You can be the guy who has the most money and the biggest boats. Who cares? I'll be in heaven watching your boats burn and watching your money burn. This is where we need to be. Building up for God. Building up for God. And don't get discouraged if you're still stuck in one place. It takes a while. And by the way, it's a lifelong process. We'll never be perfect until we get to heaven. Don't be discouraged, child of God. No matter where you are, as long as you're somewhere in the process, you're building up for God. You're building up for God. We're all at different places in the building process. We're all at different stages. But if you keep staying on course and building right and doing this, you'll never be disappointed. You'll never regret it. And I promise you, it'll all be worth it. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I see all a couple questions. No, this wasn't a salvation message. I kind of touched on it in the beginning. I ask you, is there someone in this room, all over this auditorium, is there somebody in this room that can say, Brother Jason, if I was to die today, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. If I was to die, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, if you're not building right for God, you're not saved, never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, well, just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay. In a little bit, the music's going to play. If you need to be baptized, you need to join the church, you come do that. But I'll ask you one more question. Assuming everybody in here is a child of God, they're a Christian. Let me ask you, child of God, where are you building? Because we're all building somewhere, by the way. Are you building for God? Getting saved, putting His will before your will, building up around you, and bringing all the glory to Him. Or are you building for yourself, getting your assets, getting your stock, getting all that stuff? Nothing's wrong with that, but if that's your priority, I think the priority is a little bit the wrong way. So when music plays, if you need to come for baptism, church membership, or if you need to be saved, you talk to Brother Caleb. But if you need to come, say, Lord, where am I building? Why don't you use the altar as the music plays?